We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're a part of our congregation today. We're trusting that the Lord will use us and use our broadcast to be a blessing to your spiritual life. We're opening the service with the selection, The Blood-Bought Church. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege we have of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people today. And we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and to every one. I know that you love them, you see them, and you know their needs. And we're asking Thee to bless our precious congregation today. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be a vessel that you can use to bring forth your word to their good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing our program now with the song, The Church's Jubilee. Our subject for today's broadcast, an intimate family. And our text of scripture, the words of the Lord Jesus as recorded in Matthew 16 and 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. And by word of explanation, this word rock here is referring to Christ and not to Peter. Jesus had asked the apostles, whom men said he was, and some said he was John the Baptist, some said Elijah, but he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded to Peter, "What you say is the truth. I am the foundation. I am the rock on which I will build my church." And so the church is built upon Christ, the solid rock, and it has a firm foundation. Let us look at the teachings of Christ concerning the church. He said he would build it, and how he is building it is revealed in the scriptures. Now, some people say that he built the church in AD 33, but I believe he is still building the church. Every time a person is saved, the Lord is adding to his church, and so he is still building his church. And we want to look at how his teachings shape the type of fellowship that we are, as members of the church, experience. Now, there are different views of the church. Many view the church as an institution or an organization. And terms for a literal business. But some ministers teach that it is not an organization, but it is an organism, meaning by that it has various parts or members that function together as a whole to maintain life and its activities. And I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, in regard to the fact that it is an organism and it has many parts. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, and whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body." So it is proper to refer to the church as an organism. And some people refer to the place of worship as a plant. But I believe it's more proper to say it is a place of worship. It is a place of prayer. That's what Jesus said in regard to the temple there. "It is my Father's house, and it is to be a house of prayer." And they were making it a house of merchandise. And that's why Jesus made a whip and drove them out. They had money changers there and animals that they were selling there inside the temple court. And Jesus drove them out because his house was to be a house of prayer, and I don't think it's very proper to refer to it as a plant. The church is to have some organization, of course, and order, but it is not a business in the worldly sense of the word. I believe the church is the most important organization, if you want to refer to it, but I prefer organism. It's the most important one in the world, because we are dealing with the truth. When we're dealing with souls, we're dealing with eternity. And how did Jesus view the church? He viewed it as a family doing the will of God. Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So we read in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 48 through 50. The occasion for this was Jesus was teaching, and there was a multitude of people around him, and his mother and his literal brothers were standing outside the circle, and they wanted to talk to him. So someone came to Jesus and said, "Your mother, your brothers want to talk to you." And he looked at the people that were around him, and he uttered these words, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he went on to tell them that he that doeth the will of God, doeth the will of the Father, is my brother and my sister. And so Jesus looks at the church as a family. How many times do we find Jesus referring to God as his Father? And so if God is our Father, then he has a family. And it is the family of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Paul speaks of the church as the family of God. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named." So we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. John speaks of the church as children of God. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and that we should be called," or that we should be, "children of God." And so the church is the family of God. We read in the book of Revelation, in chapter 12 of Revelation, about that beautiful star-crowned woman, and she cried in pain and birth to be delivered. And the last verse of Revelation 12 speaks about her seed being the ones who keep the commandments of God. And her seed, of course, is her children. But Jerusalem, which is from above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And so there are various scriptures that speak of the church as a family. And we, as family, are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. The church Jesus said he would build is to have a closeness that you do not usually find in an organization and an institution. As I just said, we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. And in our relationship with each other, we are to be like little children. "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Why did Jesus say this to the disciples? "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And that's verse 1 of Matthew 18. And so Jesus was teaching them a lesson. that they were not to try to be the greatest or to be rivals one of another, but they were to be humble and just like little children and kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And that's the way the family of God is to get along. And this tells us the family members are not to strive for dominance over each other, but with a spirit of humility, showing submission and recognizing our dependence on one another. Yes, we are to bear one another's burdens. We are to pray one for another. Now, I know some families don't get along, but the family of God is supposed to get along because we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes on in this 18th chapter of Matthew to teach how we are to have concern for each other, also our need of concern for one who has went astray. He gives the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd had 99 there safely in the fold, and one was missing. And so this shepherd went out into the woods or out into the desert and into the mountains or wherever, looking for his one sheep that had gone astray. And when he found it, he didn't beat it, he didn't kick it, he didn't criticize it. He picked it up and put it on his shoulder and brought it to the fold where the 99 were. And so Jesus used that parable to show how we are to not only love one another, but even one that has gone astray, we are to labor and work to bring them back into the fold. Also in this chapter, Jesus tells us how to go about disciplining one another. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't spread it through the whole congregation or the community. Go to him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother also. So we are to be able to get along, and whenever there is a trespass, we are to go to them and make it right. We should not allow bitterness to ever enter our heart toward anyone, not even a sinner, let alone a brother in the Lord. Now, an intimate family will still have some problems. I do not deny that. So Jesus teaches us in this chapter that we are to forgive one another. And they said, shall we forgive them seven times? And Jesus said, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And that's in one day. So we are to have a forgiving spirit. Remember what Jesus said in regard to that? If we do not forgive those who trespass against us, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us our trespasses against him. So an intimate family still has some problems, but we are to love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, and bear one another's burdens. Now, the church, a true home. Yes, it is a home. People say, well, you know, you need a church home. Well, I was born at home, and that's literally true as far as that goes, but I'm speaking now of the church. I was born at home. When I was born again, I was born into the family of God, the house of God. So that's the only way you can really be a part of the house of God or the family of God, is by being born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the church is to be our home. It's the home of the family. In some cases, a Christian may find members of his own household his foe, A man's foes shall be they of his own household, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and 36. And Christ intends for his church to make up for one cost in regard to the other. And he would have us to bear one another's burdens, I say, because we are members of the same family. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life. That's Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. So the first part of these verses is talking about our literal brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers and so forth. And when he said that we should forsake them, he doesn't mean that we got to go off but to ourselves, never visit them, never have anything to do with them. He's talking about us putting him ahead of our literal family. And he said if we would forsake all for his sake, then in the spiritual sense, we would have brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And then he adds, we will have persecution in this world, but in the world to come, we will have eternal life. And unless we forsake all, we cannot truly be a child of God, a member of the family of God. Now, building family intimacy in the congregation, we may need to spend more time with each other. For some, this may mean being more faithful about attending the services. Our meal time. Yes, we are to go to the house of worship, hear the gospel preach, for it is to be food for the soul. And the Church of God ministers are charged by Paul in Acts 20 and 28 that they are to feed the Church of God. And that's not talking about feeding them hot dogs or hamburgers. It's talking about feeding them the pure, holy Word of God. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, it may mean showing more concern for the burdens of our brothers and our sisters. Yes, we are told to bear one another's burdens. It may mean becoming more involved in the work of the church. To have an intimacy, a church that has intimacy, it may mean that we will need to put ourselves in the work of the Lord in an active way and not just attending the services. We need to have teachers, and we need to have deacons, and we need to have laborers in one field and another. Jesus said in regard to the field, he said, don't say there is 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Even now lift up your eyes unto the fields, for the fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Now this involves a soul burden, and we again refer to Revelation chapter 12, and I'll read here verse 1, 2, and 3. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, that is talking about a soul burden. It's talking about spiritual children. Again, the church is the mother, and we need to have a soul burden. Our Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to be with us next week when again we bring you another Way of Truth broadcast.
My hope is good.